So we are continuing our sermon series this morning on what do you believe, and we're talking about or looking at the false religions that are in the world, and we're looking at some of the cults, and there's just so much confusion today, so much confusion about religion, and a lot of Christians have come to the conclusion that all religions are basically the same. A lot of Christians have actually bought into the lie that there's many ways, there's many paths. I'm talking Christians here. And so, we have to be careful because there are all sorts of groups out there. And so over the next several weeks, we'll be talking about the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons and Scientology. And we'll take a look at even Catholicism and some of the cults that, different perspectives on cults and some biblical perspectives on other things like Freemasonry and yoga. And what about these holidays that we celebrate and their origins and how do we get a biblical perspective on that? So this is really going to be some interesting stuff, and probably I'm going to offend some of you, so I'm sorry in advance, all right? Don't need to mean to do that. Why am I teaching this material? I'm teaching this material not so that you can go out and argue with somebody who's a Jehovah's Witness or a Mormon. I've never found that to be productive. I just haven't. I mean, some of you like that. I don't. But I'm teaching this to you so that, first of all, you get it settled in your heart. I know there are many of you sitting here today that the material we're going to cover today is really going to challenge you, and you're going to have to come to grips with what is it you believe. It's very different to just say, well, I'm a Christian. 85% of America is Christian. But really, what do you believe? So I'm hoping to get that settled as we go through the next several weeks. We get that settled and also equip you so that you have friends and relatives, you've got neighbors and coworkers, and over time you have these discussions, and every now and then they ask you questions. It would be nice for you to be able to say with humility and love in your heart, well, this is what the truth is. I mean, think about being able to say that. Think about being able to answer this question. I've been asked this. Dave, like looking right at me, Dave, do you really believe a good Muslim, a good Jew, a good Mormon, when they die, you really believe they won't get to heaven? Can you answer that? I mean, think about this. This may surprise you, but years back, I saw Billy Graham on a Larry King interview show. Larry King was sitting across the table, face to face. He looks at Billy Graham, he says, he asked him that exact question. Billy, do you really believe a good Muslim, a good Jew, when they die, they would not get to heaven? Billy Graham struggled. I saw Joel Osteen beat around the bush. These are the big boys. You know what I'm saying? So they struggle with it. I think you've got to come to grips with it in your heart. How would you answer that question? I would encourage you that your answer should be something like this. It should be, it's not about what I think. That would be a start. But I believe the Bible says this. So you're putting the blame on the Bible. That's what I do. I believe the Bible says this. Jesus in the Bible said he's the only way to heaven, no other way. Jesus said if you don't believe in him, you'll die in your sins and not get to heaven. It's pretty clear. The apostles believe that. Peter, on the day of Pentecost, preached a sermon, said there's no other name under heaven whereby men can be saved. I mean, there's no variation here. And I get it, folks. Here's the thing. I don't want to go around offending people. I don't want to go around saying, well, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong, I'm right. I mean, no one wants to. I don't want to feel like that. I don't want to go around like I had the answer and you don't. So I don't want to offend people. I don't want to come across as though I'm intolerant or I'm exclusive. Although I always think this word intolerant goes both ways. I think sometimes as Christians we forget that. But people who call us intolerant are the most intolerant. It goes both ways. When they call you intolerant for believing in the only way to heaven is Jesus, what they're doing is they're being intolerant because they're saying, you should believe as I should believe. It's like, excuse me, you're intolerant. You need to accept me. Why don't you open your mind up? You know, that kind of stuff. But I mean, again, not getting in arguments. We love everybody. I think those thoughts, you know, like, gosh. So I don't want to be intolerant. I don't want to be offensive. But here's the thing. We're not dealing with irrelevant stuff. We're dealing with a person's eternal destiny. Eternity. And so therefore, getting this right is important. This is not just optional. Well, if you get it right, you get it right. If you get it wrong, no big deal. No, if you get it right, you get to spend eternity forever and ever with God in heaven. If you get this wrong, you don't get to go to heaven. It's pretty clear in the Bible. So it doesn't help just because a person is sincere. I think sometimes that confuses us. Well, he's sincere, she's sincere. Listen, folks, you can be sincerely wrong. Yeah, so religions, a lot of them look the same. And for a fact, you know, false religions, every false religion has some good in it. I mean, most religions teach you be good, be kind, you know, share, these kind of things. So because of the similarity, there's a lot of confusion. But here's a fact. This is a fact. A survey done a few years back by the Pew Research asked evangelicals in an evangelical church. So, folks, that's us. They came and surveyed a church like us, not the man on the street. They surveyed Bible-believing Christians, asked them a very simple question, and gave them two options for answers. The question was, please choose one of these two answers that most correctly aligns with what you believe. It didn't say it has to be 100% correct, but most correctly aligns with what you believe. And the two questions were very, very simple. Question number one, my faith is the one true faith, the only way to eternal life. The second question is, there's lots of ways to heaven. Pretty clear distinction. You know, real simple. What do you think they got for results? Not good. 6 out of 10, the majority of evangelical Christians, the majority, are you listening to me? 6 out of 10, 60% said there's many ways to heaven. That's a problem. That's a problem. And that's the motive behind some of this, is that I'm sure some of you, if surveyed, might struggle with that and say, well, maybe they're all kind of the same. So we're moving down this path. I started it last week. I talked about what I use, clear, simple criteria. If I'm trying to distinguish, is this religion, is this faith, is this movement Christian according to the Bible, or is it something else? And I use what I call the three S's. Really, really helps me. I hope it would help you. If you didn't hear the sermon last week, as Chip said, it's on Facebook, it's on YouTube, it's on our website. Really can help you. But just three simple things: Savior, salvation, Scripture. All other false religions vary on those three things. And when they vary on those three things, they're wrong. We believe clearly Jesus is the Savior, the Son of God, the only way to heaven. We believe salvation, according to Scripture, is a gift, cannot be earned. We believe that the Scriptures are the Word of God, infallible, truly given to us by God's Holy Spirit. So we don't vary. But you will find every other religion twists that, changes it, cuts it, slices it. And the minute you sense that, you realize, oh, there's a problem here. I'm not going to go down that path. So this morning we're going to take a look at one of the false religions. Again, over the next several weeks we'll look at several of these, but we're going to talk about Islam. Which, by the way, Islam is the fastest growing religion in the world today. Demographically, numerically, landmass wise, they're taking over the world. You can Google that, it's a fact. Something's happening. There's no way today I'm going to cover the history of Islam and all what they teach and the five pillars and all that kind of stuff. I'm really not interested in all that. I never felt like I have to study all the other world religions to know what's right and wrong. What I want to do today is just show you the difference where Islam differs from those three S's. And I have in my notes where the references are when I say the Quran says this or the Quran says that. I have the references. If you are interested in those references, you want to do more study, and I send the notes out to all the care group leaders, small group leaders. They've got all the sermon notes. Ask your small group leader, they'll give you the entire sermon. But I just want to cover some of this and then hopefully help you so when we are dealing with lots and lots of followers of Islam, Muslims that are just growing rapidly, and how do you deal with it, and is that the same as Christianity or is it different? When it comes to a savior, just like most false religions, Islam will say Jesus was a prophet of God. The Muslims will even say that Jesus was sinless. But they will not recognize him as the Son of God, and they also believe that Muhammad was a greater prophet and that there were many prophets equal to or greater than Jesus. He's just one of many. I think I read like 100,000 plus prophets. He's in that group. And they do not believe he died for our sins. So we have a difference here. When it comes to the Savior, the Muslims believe, yeah, we believe in Jesus. He's a good man. And so sometimes you get caught on that. Well, they believe in Jesus. Yeah, a good man, not the Son of God, didn't die for our sins. We, according to Scripture, believe Jesus is the only way to heaven, died for the sins of mankind. There's no variation on that. What about salvation? Again, you can look up the references in the Quran, but the Quran clearly teaches when you die, you will be judged by your good deeds. And if your basket is full of enough good deeds, you get to go to heaven. If your basket is not filled with enough good deeds, you go to hell. You have to earn your salvation, clearly taught in the Muslim faith. You have to earn it. The only other way you can get to heaven, if you're not a good person, is you kill infidels. You die a martyr. And that's why we have this certain group of the Muslim followers of Allah who take this and really become the terrorists. We know they're all not terrorists, but that's part of their teaching. If you're not that good of a person, you might want to get to heaven, kill a few infidels. So salvation for a Muslim is earned. What about Christians? Clearly taught in the Word of God, salvation is a gift of God. You cannot earn it. It's given to you by God. It's purchased for us by the sacrifice of Jesus. So the major difference there. And then the last one is Scripture. How does the Muslim faith differ from Christianity when it comes to the Bible? Well, Muslims will say they believe in the Bible. They know it's a holy book. They know it's a book. But when you read in the Quran and the teachings, they will teach that the Bible has been corrupted by you folks, Christians, back in the early days of the church, and the Jews wrecked the Old Testament. So no wonder there's a bit of animosity. They're blaming Christians and Jews for wrecking the Bible. And it wasn't until Muhammad came along and got messages from God that he corrected it and wrote the Quran. So when it comes to the three S's, they strike out big time. They differ on the Savior, they differ on salvation, they differ on Scripture. And there's so many other things that are wrong with that faith. It is oppressive to women. How any woman could ever speak up on behalf of the Islam faith, whoa. They treat women like property. They have no rights. In the Quran, it is permissible for a husband to beat his wife for no reason whatsoever. This is in the Quran. Of course, Muslims are a lot like Christians. They don't know what the Quran says. You know, a lot of Christians don't know what the Bible says. So you can say whatever you want and they'll just go, it says that or it doesn't say it. But it does say in the Quran, you can beat your wife anytime you want. She's property. Oh man, there's a problem with that. Another thing that confuses Christians is when you're maybe have friends or talking to a Muslim and they might say, inshallah, something like that. And the English interpretation of that is, if God wills. So if you hear somebody say that, you think, well, that's pretty cool. You know, inshallah, shallah, whatever. And it's like, well, that means, you know, they're submitting to God's will. But in fact, that's not what they're saying. When they're saying, if it's God's will, what they're saying is they're not personally responsible for any of their behavior. So if they do something bad, it must have been God's will. It's called fatalism. It's not believing you have no choice And that God does his thing whether you like it or not. And so if there's bad things happening, it must be God's will. Well, we don't believe that. But here's the big question, and we're going to take a few minutes and look at some scripture, because this is the area, one area, I'm pretty sure most Christians are confused on. And here's the question. Is Allah the same as our God Jehovah? Yes or no?
No.
You're right, he is not. Although there are many Christians who would say, well, and in fact, they are similar. Allah is the creator, according to the Muslim faith. Allah is sovereign, according to the Muslim faith. Allah is the judge, according to the Muslim faith. Well, that's what we believe, but there are so many differences. I just point out three, and just want to read a couple scriptures about this, but you really need to get this clear, at least in your heart. First of all, Muslims believe Allah is one. They believe Christians, us, that's us, we worship many gods. The first time I went to Israel, I remember walking through the Muslim quarters. I had a hat on, I had a cross on. I must have been asked a half a dozen times, you Christian? Yeah, you worship many gods. Like that. That's exactly what they would say. You worship many gods. I say, no, we worship the one true God. You're going to hell. Have a nice day. No. Darn. I'm just so glad I'm not God. The world would be so different. It would not be pretty. But that's what they believe. They believe we worship many gods. And in fact, that's what the Bible says. We worship a plural God. From the beginning, Genesis to the end, the Bible speaks of God in a plural sense. In the very beginning, the first time we meet God in the book of Genesis, it says, God says to himself, let us make man in our image. That's plural. That's not a singular God. All the way through the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, you see the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, distinct, separate entities, equal, the triune God. We believe in a triune God. Do we understand that? No. Which makes me even think it's probably even more correct than if I understood everything about God. It's a triune God. Jesus, at his baptism, the triune God, you know, the voice from heaven, the Holy Spirit descended. He's, you know, honoring his son. Jesus' last commission to the church, go into all the world, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And most, almost all of Paul's epistles, he always refers to the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. There is a triune God. So Allah is not the same as Jehovah. They're not one. The second major difference is Allah cannot be known. He can be served, and they're very big on service and fasting and prayer. They pray five times a day, trying to please their God. But in the Christian realm, and this is where we'll look at some scriptures, our God can be known. He's called Father. This even upset the Jewish people when Jesus was around. He's calling God his Father, like I have a relationship with him. And they're going, whoa, you can serve God, but you know, you're not really that close. Well, that's like the Muslim God, Allah. He's God, he's sovereign, he's the creator, he's the judge, you do what he says. But the Christian God, Jehovah God, can be known. Not just the Christian God, it's the God of the universe from Genesis to Revelations. I want to read a passage in Jeremiah this morning. Just one of many, but this one is so beautiful. This is the prophet Jeremiah. And he's speaking to the Jewish people. In Jeremiah 9, verse 23 and 24, thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches, but let him who glories glory in this, listen to this, that he understands and knows me. This is God speaking through the prophet Jeremiah to the Jewish people. Listen, he's saying, God's not interested in all your stuff. God's not interested in all the things you do. The highest aim of God's people is that we get to know him. we have relationship with him, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord. I exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth, for in these things I delight, says the Lord. Allah is not the same God as the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible can be known. What is sad is that many Christians go to church all their lives and never come to the realization that they can know God. You can know God. Really, you can know him. You can have a relationship with him. This is God's heart. He wants to know us, and he created us with a hunger that we could know him. And it's a void that can never be filled by anything else. No other religion will meet that void. No other worldly activity will meet that void. We were created to know God. And here's God saying, keep it straight, folks. It's the one value that I have above all else, that you know me and I know you. And it's echoed throughout the New Testament. Paul in the book of Romans, chapter 8, said, we have the Spirit inside of us that cries, Abba, Father. Abba, Father is like saying, Dad. Do you know the difference between calling your father, Father, or Dad? There's a difference. There's intimacy there. The Bible is saying, God is not only your father, he's your dad. This is very different than Allah. This is not the same God. This is a God who wants to have relationship with us. And then the third major difference between Allah and Jehovah is that Allah hates sinners. Therefore, it's okay to kill them. And that's what happens with those who take it literally. They hate sinners. They make no apologies for it. They will kill them. Is that the God of the Bible? Does he hate sinners? No. No, Jesus made this clear over and over and over in many of his parables and stories that he told. But let's turn to a passage I want to read in the book of Romans. This just kind of settles it. This is Paul writing, and this is chapter 5. Now tell me if this doesn't say anything about God loving even the sinners. Chapter 5, verse 8. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Think about this. Another word for sinners that might be more contemporary today would be like this. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were haters, he died for us. Does God hate sinners? No. He reigns on the just and the unjust. The God of the Bible loves all mankind. This is different than Allah. This is not the same God that the Muslims worship. This is found throughout the Bible. Jesus talking to Nicodemus in the Gospel of John makes this statement that many of us are familiar with. You see it at most of the football games, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That is a God who loves sinners. Sometimes I think we forget that, and we see people that are so opposed to God, it kind of wakes something bad inside of us and we start wanting to hate them. But we want to have God's Spirit inside of us. We love everyone. We treat them with respect. We understand they're no different than you and I, that Christ died for them while they were sinners, just like he died for you and me while we were sinners and hateful and rebellious. Allah is not the same as Jehovah. The Muslim faith is a false faith. They differ on Savior, they differ on salvation, they differ on Scripture. In summary, I just want to read one last passage and we'll wrap it up here. It's found in 1 Peter. And it's like answering the question, how do you treat people who are following a false religion or are caught up in a cult, and how do you deal with them? Well, here's a passage here in Peter. It's 1 Peter. Can't find it. 3:15, there it is. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Always be ready to give an answer to someone who asks you about your faith with meekness and fear. This is what we're supposed to be able to do. This is equipping ourselves. We don't answer in arrogance. We don't answer in anger. We don't say, I'm right, you're wrong. We humbly explain to them the truth of the Bible. The Bible says. And if anything, we understand the differences. When they're different, it means that something's missing in their lives. And so what I like to try to talk about when I'm talking to people of different faiths or when they're asking me questions about my faith, I just try to deal with that passage out of Jeremiah. You know how good it is to know God? My faith allows me to know God. I know him. He loves me. He forgives me of my sins. The reason I talk about that is because that speaks to the inner man. Rather than intellectually and getting into arguments, speak to the hunger in the soul of every man. Every woman has a hunger to know God. And so we can say, through what the Bible says and my personal experience, I have a relationship with God. And I'm telling you, it makes me full. My hunger is met. Amen? Amen. Let's close in prayer. Father, I thank you that we have your word to guide us. And we have your Holy Spirit living inside of us that confirms your word. We're not following a set of rules. We know you, God. We desire to know you more. God, I pray that you clarify in everybody's heart here what it is they believe about you. And give us the ability to lead other people in the way, God, that when they're asking, we can show them the way with meekness and fear, and humility, and love, and respect. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, and I just want to take a minute here as we close the service. Is there somebody here who's hungry, spiritually hungry? Is there that stirring in your heart where you're realizing, I'm missing something. I need to connect with God. I just want to invite the Holy Spirit, just let him speak to you. If you're here first time and maybe you're feeling a stirring in your spirit, I want to tell you that's the Holy Spirit. God's knocking at the door of your heart. If you've been coming for weeks, or maybe you've been coming for a long time and you're realizing I'm disconnected. You know, maybe I surrendered my life to God when I was younger, but now I realize I'm separated. But you're not here for... not here by coincidence today. You're here because God brought you here. So let's just take a minute. Father, just as you spoke through the prophet Isaiah, just as you spoke through Jesus, you offered food for the soul. You offered food for the soul, the hungry soul. Only that food can satisfy. And God, I pray this morning, if you are tugging at some hearts here, that people would realize you're calling, you're knocking, and that hunger, that desire to connect with you, God, to surrender their lives, to know you can start today. Holy Spirit, just come. Just open your hearts up. Pray like the psalmist David said in Psalm 139, oh God, search me, try me. See if there's anything inside that's wrong. Especially we're talking, is there a disconnect? And is God calling you to surrender and open up your hearts? If he's tugging at your heart, would you just do me a favor? Say, Pastor Dave, I want to make a decision. I want to connect with God. Just hold your hand up. We're going to pray for you right where you're standing. We're going to ask God to begin to reveal himself to you and to satisfy that hunger that you have. Feeling that tug and you want to make a decision, would you just do me a favor, hold your hand up all the way over here, yep, on this side right back here. Hold your hand up right here. Good for you, man. Good for you. Good for you. Right behind you, Paul and Katie. Yeah, come on. You're not here by coincidence today. Come on, hold your hand up. We're just going to pray a blessing over you. We're going to pray with you. Anybody else this morning? God tugging at your heart. You feel that hunger. You You're hungry to know God, like Jesus said. You're hungry like the prophet said, and you want to eat that which is good. You want to be satisfied in your soul instead of walking out of here wondering or hungry. Anybody else? Just hold your hand up. We're going to pray for you. Man, how exciting. All right, let's all pray together. Just, we're going to pray a real simple prayer, but it is the beginning of a brand new life with God. It's the beginning of really getting to know Him. So let's pray. Jesus, I'm opening my life up to You, inviting You to come into my heart. Come into my life right now. Please forgive me of all my sins. I surrender my life to You. I want to know You. Yeah. Come, Holy Spirit, right now. Just come. Come, let Him come. Sometimes you can actually feel it physically. It's like a tingling from your head to your toe. It's the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come. Fill. Drive out the darkness. Drive out doubt and fear. Replace it with light and love and hope and compassion and a whole new life right now in Jesus' name. Bless you. Amen. 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 Good for you folks. Good for you folks. I'm going to do one other thing here this morning. So school started last week. I want to just take a minute, if we could. Can we have all of our students up here, our teachers, our school administrators, anybody working in the schools? Just come on up front. I want to pray. I feel like the Holy Spirit wants to really release a spirit of evangelism. If you're part of the school system, just come on up front here. Everybody, students, teachers, administrators, bus drivers, lunch workers, and secretaries, nurses, you know, everybody, maintenance, supervisors. Come on, look at this, man. Come on. Yeah. So now listen, here's what I'm feeling. We want to pray for you, but I feel like in my heart, God wants to release in you a spirit of evangelism this year. A spirit of sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with your coworkers, your student, your peers, your whatever involvement you have in the school system. But I just believe God wants to use you, and I want to release in you that spirit and drive out any fears or intimidation. Would you rest of you just do me a favor? Either come on up here or extend your hands up. Let's pray over these folks here, man. This is fertile ground. Come on up here if you want. But, you know, you get intimidated, like you can't talk about God, or you can't bring your Bible, or you can't pray, or, you know, let's pray for wisdom. Let's pray for Holy Spirit anointing. Let's pray for hearing the voice of God, when to speak, when not to speak. Come on up. We need some more people up here. Come on up over these people. Let's get somebody praying over everybody up here this morning. And then I'm just going to pray, and we're going to close with a song. But I want to pray for these people, and I'm asking those of you that are up front, if you just feel something special, like you have a word for this person, please share it with them. Another school year starting, let's not just let it slide by. Let's make an impact. Father, I pray for every student up here right now. I release in them a confidence that they can represent You, God, in their classes, with their students, in the building, outside the building, on the way to school, God, that You give them the right words to say. Give them the eyes to see who You're working with, God. I pray for our teachers, our administrators, the secretaries, the bus drivers, the maintenance people, the lunchroom people, God, everybody. I just release a spirit of evangelism and the outpouring, God, of the sharing of good news, that we see people brought into the kingdom this year through the school system. We pray this in Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Just keep praying until you feel like you're done here. If you want to keep praying, we're going to close with a song.
Come and take your place in the center of our hearts. Come and take your place. Come.
In the center of our hearts. You are the way, the truth, and the life. We believe that. We lift you high above everything going on in our lives, anything that's in front of us this week, any challenges at school, any challenges at work, any challenges in relationship, any attacks on our health, all of it, Lord, we lift you high above it all. Your blessing on every person in this room this week. Be with us, Lord. Let your Holy Spirit just flow from us and lead others to you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great week. Be blessed. If you made a decision for God this morning, we have people that want to pray with you, so make sure you head over to the folks on the side of the room. If you need any other prayer, we have people here to pray with you, so feel free to head to the sides of the room. Have a great week.